Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
6 minutes after the hour. Hey, good evening. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. You get your Ryan back next week sometime. He's just taking some time off, as we all like to do. The number, though, is the same. Man, we've got a lot to cover. I mean, a lot of craziness happening in the world, and I'm not just talking about Washington, D.C. Trust me, we are not going to spend the whole 6 hours that we've got talking about Washington, D.C., because I think we'd all lose our minds. The number here is 800-925-1120, or if you're in the St. Louis area here, 314-436-7900. Okay, just a little bit later on this hour, this is one of those stories. I talk about crazy. I've got to know what you think about this. A court rules against a dad who wants to allow his 7-year-old boy to remain a boy. You're saying, no, Mike, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I know. But that's actually what a court ruled, is that the dad has no right to insist that his son remain a boy. I've got the details. I want to know what you think. Just a little bit later on, the president, oh boy, he has set off the left again. But you know what? Yeah, this time it's not just the left who's angry. And frankly, I kind of get it. Even though I'm what's kind of, my wife calls me a conservatarian. So either I'm a conservative with a libertarian streak, or I'm a libertarian with a conservative streak. I'm somewhere in there between conservative and nutty libertarian. I'm not the nutty kind of libertarian. I'm the common sense kind. But then again, there's a lot of hypocrisy to go around on this entire controversy. So the question that I'm going to present to you is what the president said really that offensive? Or does it not matter because the Democrats have done it in the past, too? Yeah, I don't know. I think what he said was dumb. I just really do. He should know better by now. But here, let's start off. Okay, the first thing that I found the other day, which is interesting, because this is one of those news stories that probably flew under the radar over the last several days. The Department of Labor, kind of at the instruction of President Trump, now is allowing states to require drug testing to get unemployment benefits. Now, that's always been allowed in certain cases. Like if you get laid off and you're an airline pilot, or, you know, you're in some kind of job where drug testing is like mandatory because of heavy equipment or something, the states could always require that. But what's happening now is that now it doesn't require the states to do it. So if you hear some news report that says President Trump's requiring everybody who's unemployed to go get drug tested, no, that's not actually what's happening. But this is the question is, if you're unemployed, now, first of all, there aren't that many people unemployed right now. We've got the lowest unemployment rate in, what, 50 or 60 years. In Missouri, it's down to about 3%. And so there aren't that many people requiring. But some activists are really upset about this. They're saying that it is blaming the people who are unemployed. It's saying that it doesn't matter if they've got some, you know, some sort of drug usage, that shouldn't change the fact that they get unemployment benefits because, well, they need them. And unemployment benefits are for when you are unemployed. Now, here's the situation. As I said, it does not require states to do this. But Wisconsin is actually looking at doing this. Other states, yeah, nobody's really saying a whole lot about it because it's kind of expensive. I mean, if you go file for unemployment, first of all, it's kind of a hassle, but still. For a lot of people, they don't want to do it anyway because it's embarrassing. It's a matter of pride. I mean, I was at a radio station one time that got sold. And so they cleaned us all out. And trust me, that's what happens in the business. But man, I hated the idea of going to get unemployment benefits because I equated it with welfare. And finally, you know, people put a little common sense into my head and said, no, this is what you've been paying for. You know, all those numbers that are deducted from your paychecks every 2 weeks or every month or whatever. Yeah, that's part of what they're paying for. So, you know, so I did. And it's a little bit of a hassle, but it's still kind of embarrassing. But if the states do this, they expand the drug testing, then there might be some people who don't file for unemployment. Yeah, I mean, if you know you're not going to pass a P-test, why would you file? You know, or to complicate things, yeah, what if you do have weed in your system, but it's legal in your state, or you have a medical marijuana card? Then what? So should states say, you know what? You may have to take a drug test to get a job anyway. So if you want these unemployment benefits, you need to take a drug test. I personally, it seems like an awful lot of money to require, because you're not the one who's going to pay for it. The government's going to pay for it if it's a required test, because they can't require you to pay for it as well just to get the unemployment benefits. Now, at the same time, though, I guess I see the perspective of allowing states to at least have that option. Now, for instance, the law already allows for somebody who was fired because they tested positive for drugs to have to pass a drug test in order to get their unemployment benefits or to do some kind of treatment. So I guess the threat of doing that is still kind of valid, and I get it. But just from, I don't know, just from that gut feeling that you get, is it a good idea to allow states, or is it a good idea for the states themselves to say, yeah, you want unemployment benefits, you want these checks from the government, then yeah, you got to prove that you're employable or that you're trying, and part of that means staying off drugs. I mean, if I were a state legislator, I don't think I would vote for that. I don't think I would want that to be something that I would require. But what do you think? 800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that just came out of nowhere, and I'm seeing a lot of like false reporting about it. I don't want to say fake news because that's really cliche at this point. But for instance, I saw Vox, and you know, far be it for me to accuse Vox of being biased, but they're biased. And it says Trump just expanded drug testing to hundreds of thousands of workers. No, he did not. Neither did the Department of Labor. But it did potentially allow their states to do it. So I guess it's good that they're able to do it if they think there's some kind of probable cause or suspicion. In the story that I'm reading here on it, and again, this one's actually from Vox, because I just tend to collect news stories from all different perspectives and read. Michelle Evermore, who is a policy analyst at the National Employment Law Project, said this to Vox, and I'm just going to quote her. This final rule represents a not-so-subtle attack on the character of unemployed Americans. I don't think it does. Drug testing is simply a lazy way of blaming the victims of larger economic trends or corporate practices such as downsizing, outsourcing, or offshoring. Again, I don't think that it is, but I guess it's good sound bites to do something that's really inflammatory to say that. And here's another interesting part about this. NAACP and other civil rights groups are saying that this would, and again, these are their words, could be illegal because it would hurt the poor and the low-skilled workers the most. I got to tell you, if I were in that category, I'd be kind of ticked off to say because you're poor, you're more likely to be on drugs. I don't think that drug usage is any that much difference between middle-class and lower-income Americans. So when they're arguing that, I think they're arguing disingenuously, but again, at the same time, I don't think that this is not a good practice for a state government to say, you know what, we want everybody to take a drug test just to make sure we're not giving money to somebody who's on drugs. Bad idea. It is an invasion of privacy. It is a benefit that you paid for out of your paycheck. But to be able to say, you know what, if we have these suspicions, or if you were fired under these conditions, or if you work in these fields, then, yeah, we can require that. You want to be somebody who flies an airplane and you're going to have to prove that you're drug-free in the first place? Yeah, we're going to make sure you're drug-free all the way in there. Anyway, so that's, I don't know. To me, it's not that tough of one, but it is still an interesting case right there. But watch out for the news coverage on that, because you are not always going to get what is the truth in that. I know. Big shock right there. All right. Still ahead. Cyber currency leads to the breakup of a child pornography. This is really crazy. And also, I'll tell you what the president said You tell me if people should be so up in arms about it. I get why they're upset. I think the president should have known that he was going to set off a firestorm. But yeah, there is hypocrisy involved. All right, 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker here on Overnight America on KMOX.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. Here in just a minute, President Trump has offended people again. I know that's a big surprise, right, that he offended people. But are they right to be upset by his comparing the whole impeachment mess to a lynching? That's actually what he said. Okay, I got the details ahead in just about 2 minutes or so, but I want to know what you think, because there's more to it. And a lot of the people who are throwing a fit about this have actually done the same thing. But at the same time, Mr. President, you know they're looking to pick apart every single thing that you have to say. All right. Also, right before that, man, cyber currency, you know, Bitcoin and all that sort of stuff. It's not as untraceable as you may think. And it turned out to be a good thing in this particular case. But in case you're trying to decide to do all of your currency in the cyber currency so nobody knows what's happening, yeah, it looks like the government's figured out how to track it. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phone lines here. Steve in Missouri, looks like he's going to correct me on something, because you were telling me just a second ago what he was saying. And yeah, Steve, looks like I did get part of the story wrong, right?
Yes, and I'm only speaking about Missouri, but in Missouri, yeah, both federal and state unemployment withholdings, or taxes, if you want to call them that, are paid by the company.
Yeah.
The employees do not have anything withheld from their checks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it adds to the overhead that the boss has, but I was being told that. I'm like, oh, no, wait, no, that's not right. And I started typing. I went, oh, yeah, Steve's right. That's right, yeah. But still, yeah, the point is that it is a benefit that's paid for out of the private sector. But yeah, you're right. So I appreciate the clarification.
Sure. Thank you.
And Steve, what do you think? I mean, should you have to take a drug test if the state says, something's a little fishy with you? Should you have to take a drug test to get an unemployment check?
You know, I personally don't think so. I can understand the philosophy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
However, if they're going to delve into that area of your lifestyle, you know, where is it going to end?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are they going to say you need to be eating healthier, you need to get 8 hours of sleep every night? I mean, I understand it's an employer. I certainly don't want the money that my company is earning and paying into this fund, essentially, to be used by people who are doing things illicitly. However, I'm not a proponent of the government getting into our private affairs either. So it's a real paradox for somebody, I guess, in my shoes.
I think that's a good point, Steve. Appreciate it. Hey, thanks for calling in. Have a good evening. Good point, especially when it talks about getting into privacy. By that logic, what's the logical conclusion is, what else are they going to tell you that you have to do? Good point right there. Okay, real quick, before I get to the president's quotes here, I found this story. This is probably one of the bigger stories that you may have missed over the past several days. U.S. authorities use Bitcoin Trail to break up large child porn website. That's the headline. You can also, Bloomberg did a big report on this as well. But here's the thing. I found the story on The Hill. But what happened is there was this Korean man named, let me get his name here, which I'm probably going to, oh, he has a pretty simple name. His name is somewhere on here. There he is. Jong Woo Sung. Jong Woo Sun, S-O-N. And so he had a website that was one of these dark net websites that had child pornography and like 200 plus thousand videos. And I'm not going to go into the details of them. It was pretty horrific. But he was doing business in Korea, South Korea, and he was also doing business in the United States through the online transactions. And so what happened is the IRS and other federal investigators, they figured out how to track Bitcoin purchases, because the guy was selling his videos through Bitcoin. A lot of places like to do that because we're told it can't be tracked. It's untraceable. Just so you know, they have figured out how to trace it. Now, in this case, great. You know, they busted the guy. They've arrested 11 or 12, you know, high rollers in the child porn consuming business. Glad they got him. Lock him up, throw away the key as far as I'm concerned. But I still do. I actually don't have a problem with currency being untraceable because I don't think it's the government's business what you spend your money on for the most part. But this, that's how they used it to catch these guys. So investigators, I don't know if they cracked the code or if they had it all along or if they were just more diligent, but they actually got him. So I think that's cool. And that's one of those things where there were so many other stories around the country that you just kind of missed it. All right. So here's the one I really want your opinions on, the story. 800-925-1120. So was it just an unfortunate choice of words or was it something more? Well, President Trump, you never really know. So here's what happened. The actual tweet that he put out today, he put it out at 7:52 a.m. I'm assuming that's Eastern time. And the president says, so someday, if a Democrat becomes president and the Republicans win the House, even by a tiny margin, they can impeach the president without due process or fairness or any legal rights. All Republicans must remember what they are witnessing here, a lynching. But we will win. Oh, boy. Okay. I'll just kind of go with some of the response. Representative Bobby Rush of Illinois, who happens to be black, he tweets back, you think this impeachment is a lynching? What the hell is wrong with you? Do you know how many people who look like me have been lynched since the inception of this country by people who look like you? Delete this tweet. Okay, so I think he went a little bit over the top with look like me, look like you. But here's the thing. Jerry Nadler, one of the chief forces behind impeachment in the U.S. House of Representatives, then Senator Joe Biden, many people used the exact same words when people were, for instance, going after Bill Clinton. They called it, a political lynching. Here's the thing. The president knows that people are going to comb through everything he says, and maybe he's trying to poke the hornet's nest. I don't know. But it's not a good idea to say it. But right now, when people flip out, they're forgetting that their side on the left has used it. Now, you've got people in the Republican Party both saying, yeah, we all agree that was pretty lousy choice of words. But is it as big of a deal as it's being made out to be in Washington, D.C. right now? Bad idea to say it. I think we can all agree with that. But are we looking for things to make hyper political, or should we just expect better out of our politicians, including the president? I mean, I remember a few months ago, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comparing immigration and customs enforcement detention facilities to Nazi concentration camps. There was no outrage over that on this kind of scale by any stretch of the imagination. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. David is in Illinois. Hey, David, my friend, you are on the air.
Thank you. Ever since Donald Trump became president, even before he was sworn into office, the Democrats have been trying to take him down. I mean, sometimes he even got to the way he blows his nose. Trump has been doing a great job for our country. Unemployment is at 50, 60 year low records. African Americans, Spanish Americans, whoever. There's jobs out there for everybody. My thing is, why do the Democrats have to hold this impeachment inquiry in secrecy? Why is everything behind closed doors? I remember back in 72, I was in Washington, D.C. I was just a small kid, but I remember watching on TV the Nixon impeachment proceedings. Everything was on TV. I remember back when Billy Boy Clinton couldn't keep himself happy. Everything on the Clinton impeachment proceedings was on TV. Everything was out in the open. Why all of a sudden is the Democrats got to have everything so secrecy, so hush-hush, because you know what? It is a public lynching. And you know what? You know, we're in, what, 2019? A lot of the stupidity happened back in the 1800s, early 1900s. You know, you don't like the words, then turn the channel. There is no reason for everybody to be getting their panties in a bunch because someone says the word public lynching. That's what I got to say.
David, appreciate it. If you got some thoughts on this as well, give me a call, 800-925-1120. You agree with David or you disagree with David? I'm open to both opinions. Give me a call. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. By the way, you can connect with me on Twitter, and I hope that you do. I'm at M Ferguson Media. So let's talk on there. In the meantime, though, the president saying that his impeachment is a lynching. Yeah, that was not very smart. Also, still ahead, I want to get to the story, and this one's just crazy. I'm not even going to try to be objective on this. Not even going to try. A court tells a man that he cannot try to protect his son from being transitioned into a transgender kid, and they tell the dad he's not allowed to do it. The more details you get on the story, the worse that it gets, and I really want to know what you think. I'm Mike Ferguson. This is Overnight America on KMOX. My name is Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker tonight. Ryan's just on vacation, so you get him back? Give me a call, 800-925-1120. This story just blew my mind. You know, anytime you've got something has to do with transgender, this or that, and I try not to be overly sensational on stuff like this because it just gets ridiculous. But this week, as in yesterday, that a court ruled that a man named Jeffrey Younger, and he's divorced. His ex-wife's name is Ann Jorgalis, I think is how it's going to be said. So they've got some kind of court order custody thing. Well, his ex-wife says that that their son wants to be a girl. He's seven. And so she is insisting that her son, whose name is actually Jack, I think. No, wait a minute. What is it? I just read it a little bit ago. But she's renamed the son unofficially Luna. And dresses him up in dresses and eyelashes and all that kind of stuff. And will not allow anybody to refer to him by his actual name. And his actual name is, it was up here just a second. It was trending on Facebook or Twitter just a little bit ago. And I'm actually drawing a blank on it. I've read about three or four stories on this because I could not believe what I was reading. So the mother actually went to court saying that, James. Yeah, thank you. James Younger. So there's a hashtag, series, a trending saying, Save James Younger. Seven-year-old boy, mother is convinced, trying to convince him that he really wants to be a girl. And the father simply going to court saying, no. When he's in my house, he's a boy. He likes to do boy things. But the mother is actually trying to not only get a court order that allows her to do puberty blockers and allows her to do all this medical chemical stuff. She's asking that the court order the dad to not call his son James. That the dad must affirm the mother assigning a female persona to this boy. 7 years old. Seven. And you're not going to believe this. This week, the court came back and ruled in favor of the mom. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, those crazy left coast courts. Man, that San Francisco court. What happened in Berkeley? Oh, was that New York? No, that was in Texas. Texas. According to the reporting from some local newspapers, Jorgalis's, the ex-wife's lawyers, said the mother does not plan on giving little James hormone blockers at this time. However, and I'm going to quote here, no one has stated that she, meaning the ex-wife, would not be open to using them when James begins puberty, which would be around age 11 for a boy. So she's securing a right from the court to say, yep, you can make this decision and start medically altering your boy's body.
So as of right now, according to about three or four stories I've read on this, that's what's going on. With the jury's decision, and 11 out of the 12 jurors sided with the mom. Mr. Younger, Jeffrey Younger, the dad, is likely going to be, ordered, it says here forced, but ordered to affirm his son's new gender identity, which was clearly picked by the mother, and call his son Luna. Here is part of what he said on a podcast show, meaning Jeffrey Younger. He says, I want you to imagine having electronic communication with your son on FaceTime and imagine that your ex-wife has dressed him like a drag queen to talk to you. He has false eyelashes and makeup. His hair has got glitter in it. He's wearing a dress. Now imagine how you would feel seeing what I believe is actual sexual abuse. I believe this is not just emotional abuse, but this is very most fundamental form of sexual abuse, tampering with the sexual identity of a vulnerable boy. That is from the father, Jeffrey Younger. So according to other news reports, court documents show that Younger's son only dresses like a girl when he's with his mother. The dad says when he's here, he's just a boy. He likes boy stuff. When he's with his mother, who calls the boy Luna and has enrolled him in school as Luna and is demanding that the court force the dad not only to refer to his son by the girl's name, but to actually foot the bill for James' visit to a transgender-affirming therapist and transgender medical alterations, whatever that means. And she wants him to start paying for that in 2 years. So the boy will be 8 or 9 years old. And this is in addition to trying to strip the dad of his parental rights. Now, listen, I'm not trying to get into the entire transgender debate. I think if you're an adult and that's how you want to live, that's your choice. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to understand it. I've got the choice to walk the other way. But we're talking about a 7-year-old child, and this entire discussion has become so insane that 11 out of 12 people in Texas have sided with a mother who wants to order people to refer to a 7-year-old boy as a girl. This guy, this little kid doesn't have a chance. 800-925-1120. And I'm reading these stories and I'm thinking to myself, what if that happened to me? I mean, I was divorced years and years ago. I'm remarried now. But when I was divorced, fortunately, I actually got custody of both of my children and I reared them myself. But I'm trying to put myself in this guy's shoes. And a court says, we side with your ex-wife. You here are hereby ordered to refer to the child in question as Luna. You are hereby ordered to affirm the identity of a female. You are hereby affirm. I think I would, middle of the night, take the boy and escape. Try to take him somewhere and fall off the grid. I mean, what kind of jury says, absolutely, we're going to side with the mother and permanently mess up this kid? I mean, this is beyond insane. We're not talking about stories where somebody decides that they're going to come out of the closet and transition when they're 25 or 35 or 40, and they say, this is how I felt. We're not talking about the Bruce Jenners of the world. We're talking about a 7-year-old boy and a legal system that is stopping a parent from having at least an equal say in what happens. At the very least, the court should have said, listen, this is off the table until this kid is 18 years old. Mom, you raise the kid however you see fit when he's in your house. Dad, you do it as you see fit when he's in your house. In the meantime, though, no, a court's not going to order that. But what's unbelievable, and this is something that just 5-6 years ago, if you would have told any of us that this is how much momentum this transgender movement was going to have, we'd have thought you were crazy. That 11 out of 12 jurors are going to say, yes, we are going to prevent a father from being able to stop his ex-wife from medically altering a 7 or 8 or 9-year-old son. I can tell you right now that if a court ordered me to call my son, I've got one son and one daughter, both in their 20s. But if I had a court order me to call a son by a girl's name because my ex-wife or anybody else said that's what we wanted to do, I would just refuse. Would I get fined? Yeah, maybe contempt of court. Yeah, it could happen. But I would absolutely refuse. What would you do? But then again, if you're listening and you're saying, wait a minute, Mike, you're missing this. The mother has a point. And you're, I'm not going to bash you. I'm not going to yell at you. I actually do want to hear your perspective because I honestly can't think of one that would justify, one, what the mother is doing, two, what the jurors have decided, or three, what could be the final ruling on this, which is apparently expected to come tomorrow or Thursday in Texas. Even if you are an ardent LGBT supporter, can you not see the insanity of this and the evil in this? And that's the only way I can really describe it. It's absolutely evil. 800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. Once again, my name is Mike Ferguson. I'm at M Ferguson Media on Twitter. In for Ryan Recker today, and this is Overnight America on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. My name is Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker. What would you do if a court ordered you to tell your son that he's a girl, or vice versa? Tell your daughter that she's a boy. That's happening to a man in Texas. By the way, just after the top of the hour, so much more drama on this entire Ukraine situation. White House slamming testimony from former U.S. Ambassador William Taylor as part of the House impeachment inquiry, and they're calling it triple hearsay, insisting the President Donald Trump has done nothing wrong. I've got the details, and we're going to visit with Adam Mill. He's a writer with American Greatness, and you can look up their website at amgreatness.com. And we'll get their take on what's happening with this entire impeachment mess and debacle. But let's go ahead and go to the phone lines here. What's happening, if you're just joining us, in Texas, a man and his ex-wife, not just fighting over custody, the ex-wife says, this son wants to be a girl. He's seven. And I want the right to medically transition him. The dad says, no, he's seven. You don't get to do that. And a Texas jury, that blows me away. It's Texas? Are you kidding me? Sides with the mom. Question is, what would you do? I'm confident that my kids are grown, but I'm confident I wouldn't comply. Adam, what would you do? You are on KMOX. What do you think?
Well, I'm just looking at it from a perspective of 11 jurors. So they probably didn't just hear from mom. They didn't just hear from dad. They heard from therapists. They heard from teachers. They heard from friends. So to me, in all this, it goes back to maybe there really is an issue with the dad. And, you know, there are people that can't handle that, and that's fine. And it's not against the dad. There's a divorce that's happened for another reason, too. So we don't know all the details behind dad. But if 11 of 12 people think the mom is on the right path, it's not because mom just conveyed that and they all said, oh, sure, sounds like a great plan.
Adam, but the question I've got is, this is a seven-year-old boy, and she's made it very clear that she wants to be ready to, at any time, medically, chemically try to transition this boy's body into something it's not at seven years old. That's the crazy part to me.
But we know genetically that it happens that way for some at birth. So if this boy knows that he's a girl, 7 or 15 doesn't make a difference. So why would you want to live another 9 years in the wrong body?
Because a lot of kids question and do all different stuff, and then they come out of it. I mean, that Johns Hopkins University's 10-year study on it shows us that.
I agree. And there are those. We won't deny that, right?
Yeah.
It happens. But there's, you know, and then you're, and I understand your comment. I could see, I can come from your place. Taking your kid out of that situation is good. It's just not any better. Trauma is awful to begin with, but we don't know what other trauma there is. And we don't know if that's the reason behind the trauma.
Yeah, that's true. To order that to me is just, you know, to say, listen, if the kid wants to do this when he's older, that's one thing. But, oh, my goodness, it's 7 years old.
What it tells me is they heard enough testimony from enough people that the dad is not even in the right ballpark. I mean, if you were at 8 of 12 jurors, if you were at 6 of 12 jurors and it was, you know, just enough, then you could say, huh. But if 11 of 12, and like you're right, in Texas, all sided with the mom, it's a pretty big statement saying that dad's just not getting it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't think the mom's getting it for sure. Adam, I got to get to news in a second. Appreciate the phone call. I don't agree, but I do appreciate the phone call. Fred, if you want to hang on, we've got to get to the news here in just a second. We'll talk to you before we talk to Adam Mill from American Greatness. So give me a call, 800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. I'm Mike Ferguson again. I'm in for Ryan Recker. I will be back on Thursday as well. And so you got plenty of backup for Ryan here. So keep tuning in to KMOX. And again, I'd love to connect with you on social media. Just find me after you find KMOX News on Twitter. Go find at M Ferguson Media. Ukraine and quid pro quo and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, big step and all that in the news earlier today. Do they finally have the president this time? Well, probably not, but we'll get a perspective on that. Also, what the heck is rage yoga? I'm going to get to that, too. That's actually a thing now. It's a weird thing, but it's a thing. We'll talk about that right here on KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.